Welcome to the Game of Thrones podcast, the officially unofficial podcast for Game of Thrones on HBO. I'm Jim.
And I'm Aaron.
And we just got done watching episode 2 of season 5.
Yes, we did.
Titled The House of Black and White. What do you think of it?
Man, it's rough. It's rough because like 75% of this, as a book reader, I'm watching with arms crossed and eyes narrowed. Like, okay, all right. I don't know what you're doing here. Not sure I like it.
Okay.
But that's the thing. It's like, I can start to see how they're trying to do some remixes here, but I still don't know exactly where they're going. So, I mean, it looks like it's being done excellently.
Okay.
I reserve the right to be retroactively horrified at everything, but I really like what's going on up at the wall.
Yes. Jon Snow as Lord Commander is a fantastic thing.
I like the concept of...
Although I can't help but think that maybe Alistair is not going to be happy.
Oh, really?
In a very particular way, yes.
You think big head baby man with the guy liner is going to be upset?
I think so. Pretty sure.
Having this guy
topping
the ward on
him. I don't think he's going to like taking orders from Jon Snow.
Well, that's mildly interesting, Jim.
I don't think it's going to go to Jon Snow's head. I think he's better than that. But
sure.
If Alistair were in this position, he would certainly abuse it.
Sure.
So it's not like I would not like to see Jon do that.
Sure.
But who knows?
Then he's not, and I also kind of like the idea of Jaime going on a one man or I guess two man rescue mission for Myrcella down there in Dorne, and I like the fact that they're bringing Bronn. That's a good way to keep a character that's largely been sidelined in the books. Interesting.
Yeah, so, and they've been fighting together for a while now, and I think it might be a good opportunity.
I feel like they were definitely looking ahead to this season when they did that plot line, too, because that would have just come out of nowhere if they hadn't.
Sure. Definitely. So. I'll take some sellsword that used to help Tyrion out.
Yeah, fuck your wife, fuck your castle, fuck your scheme to eventually murder her wicked stepsister. You're coming with me to Dorne, asshole. It's still kind of like that.
It is, but, you know, he's promising a bigger castle and a better woman. And
so, yeah.
But how do you take anything he says seriously? If I'm Bronn, I'm thinking, oh, your sister just backstabbed me.
Exactly.
Why am I going to trust you?
That bothered me a little bit. I feel like that Jaime might have come with an offer less than a, you know, flipping over the table kind of thing for him. But that's the spirit of what was offered.
Like, and maybe it's also, you know, they've set up a relationship between these two people.
Sure.
One that is... You know, Jaime has kind of not had the upper hand here. Bronn has.
Mm-hmm.
Now Jaime has it. And I think, you know, Bronn was teaching him something and helping him out. I think he thinks Jaime will do the same.
Mm. Well, you know, upper, lower hand, as long as Jaime's missing his right hand, I think.
Yeah.
Bronn's got the permanent upper hand as far as that goes.
Sure.
We're getting geared up for the 6th annual Summer Badass Fest. And while we're working on a slate of apex badass films to enjoy, we've got an early action-packed announcement to make.
Just like last year, we're kicking off Badass Season with a live movie watch and podcast recording. We've rented out a theater for connoisseurs of action films and Bald Move fans that just want to have a great time.
Unlike last year, this year's movie is top secret. Hush, hush. No hints. Except, it's incredibly badass. It stars an absolute icon of the genre. We're willing to bet most of you haven't seen it, and it's going to be an incredible viewing experience with a packed house of Bald Movers.
Those of you who came to last year's screening of Total Recall know what a party it was. And those of you who didn't, now's your chance to experience it. Meet me and Jim. Order some custom movie-themed drinks at the theater's full bar. Then watch us record the full podcast for the movie. We reserved a venue over twice the size as last year, but seating is still limited.
It's happening Friday, June 21st at 7 p.m. in our hometown of Cincinnati. Get full details and buy tickets at baldmove.com/live.
Cincinnati's actually a pretty great city to visit, and we've got lots of details for side adventures on our event page as well. The Reds are playing the Boston Red Sox in their fantastic Riverside Stadium. The thrills of Kings Island just minutes away, and I'll be leading a kayak trip down the scenic Little Miami River on Saturday.
Again, get full details and get your tickets now on our Badass Fest 6 page at baldmove.com/live.
So what'd you think of the Brienne stuff here, meeting up with Sansa? I mean,
I was shocked to see them just land in the same pub,
especially with,
like, that didn't seem to make sense.
Well, honestly, it makes more sense than them just, you know, two wagons passing in the night last episode. So it's like,
yeah,
definitely yanked it out of the too cute. I mean, it's no longer perched precariously. It's just like, oh, well, of course this happens. You were on the same road and you went to the same inn and all that. But I'm
it seemed like a big coincidence to me. But
the fact that, like, I got over that quickly. It seems like many, many people are becoming aware that Lady Sansa is still an active player in this world has me concerned. The fact that she is so Brienne seemed like she chalked this up to Sansa being wary of strangers. What was your take on that situation? I feel like she's kind of down with the Littlefinger.
I think so. I think at this point, you know, when she comes out in that bird dress or whatever last season, I think that's very representative of her change of heart. And I don't know if she's actually down with what Littlefinger is doing, or if she is going to try to get one over on Littlefinger himself.
Sure.
Which would also be super interesting. Either way, that plan does not include Brienne, so I think that's why she did it.
No, I think so too. I think Brienne is being wishful, naive, etc.
Yeah, it's, I feel bad for Brienne.
Plus, like, I don't understand her. If that's what she planned on doing and then planned on stalking them, what was up with the murderous rampage at the end?
Oh, I don't think Littlefinger was going to let her leave.
Really?
That's the impression I got when he says, sit down, stay a while. Yeah, okay. I think he wants as few people to know about Sansa being around as possible. And that he probably wasn't going to let her leave. And so she fought her way out.
Okay, so Littlefinger.
She took the opportunity and the initiative to get out of there.
Okay, all right. I think I'm on the same page with you.
Okay.
Well, what do you think of Arya entering Braavos and knock, knock, knocking on the House of Black and White's door?
I'm not sure what point Jaqen's trying to make here.
Yeah.
Necessarily with you have to become nobody at the end. I don't know what the point of turning her away was rather than welcoming her in.
I don't either. That was a little cinema paradiso, kind of like the parable of the, I don't know, the prince that waited for his princess for 40 days and 40 nights to get her hand in marriage. And then he left on the 39th night. You know, it's like some kind of test.
Sure.
Very Fight Club. It goes to a little Fight Club-y.
Yeah. I mean, she leaves on the 39th night and then he comes after her. So.
Yeah. Yeah. But this organization is called the Faceless Men. So their ethos of being a bunch of nobodies kind of fits in with that. Like, you know. I'm seeing them kind of like break you down to make you back up, or I'm very excited in her being molded into some kind of assassin.
I am too. And that scene where she gets accosted in the alley was fantastic. I love the way she just spun around and stood her ground.
I was worried.
And I fully believe she might have taken these guys out.
With their daggers, I was kind of worried when they first accosted her because, you know, I thought they might be just like sellswords or whatever. But when I saw they just had daggers, I'm like, I think Arya could take these guys.
Maybe. I mean, there are three of them, I think.
I mean, that little move she had on the pigeon.
Tough, but I think they could.
That little move she had on a pigeon.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was no chicken, but still pretty sweet.
Yeah, not bad.
She's going to have to eat every fucking pigeon in Braavos.
The part where I don't have a problem with them doing this in the show because I think it's well within her character.
Yeah.
Well within the story. But man, I knew it was a bad idea for Dany to do what she did.
Man,
I saw that coming.
I get it, but it's one of those things where I don't know what the good solution was. Like,
that's fair.
That dude, one of her children, whatever her name is, I thought they were making her out to be one character, but obviously not. Or maybe they are. Who fuck? They Double D's have gone mad with power. They're Cersei. They're Cersei'd all up in their red keep.
Oh, we'll talk about her.
I mean, what was she going to do if she pardoned him? Then she's got the ruling elite. Like, this just proves their point. If she lets, I guess. Maybe she'd just throw herself in with the slaves and be like, you know what? I've got these guys back. You guys need to suck it up.
It didn't. It struck me as, I don't know. So am I to believe in this scene that everyone in this crowd knew what had happened with the slaver? Because how does word get around like that? The way it's presented, she comes out. She says, this guy needs to die because And then when they cut off his head, they all start hissing at her. And yeah. that would make sense, because if they don't even know what's going on in the sure. first place, how are... And I don't know that the people in general, that the masses, are able to understand a message like justice and freedom must be linked in yeah. this way.
No, I felt like the whole
thing...
It felt
a little uneasy from the start.
I felt it was kind of clumsily staged, honestly. And I said last week that, you know, I'm hoping that most of the changes are going to be like streamlining and character economy. And, you know, if you want the more realistic, richer, more geopolitically interesting thing, then read the books.
Yeah.
But I kind of feel like they're just making this really black and white. I mean, pardon.
The name of the episode, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, that's a little, it's kind of dangerously so, I think, because they're at a risk of just making her look foolish. You know, it's bad commentary, like you said. Like, is it that the underclass can't, they can't, their brains can't comprehend big politics and things like mercy? I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure what they're saying with this, and I was most uneasy with that.
Yeah.
What's going down there across in
I was too. I mean, Tyrion better get there soon and fix shit up. Cause
what would Tyrion do?
I don't know, man.
She needs a bracelet. WWTD. What would Tyrion do? I don't know, because that's the thing. Like, once that guy did that, I mean, I think the thing to do is, instead of throwing like what's the reverse of bread and circuses, shit and dentist visits. She didn't give him bread and circuses. She threw shit and dentist visits at them. And I think that you know, God help me, I'm siding with Dario. I think she should have just
open the fighting pits.
No. I think she should have off with his head back in the pyramid and kept it hush hush, and then, you know, she could have been the strong ruler for the upper class and put them on notice that she's dispensing mercy, or she's dispensing justice to everybody, and it wouldn't have been like inviting the public spectacle of the entire city turning against her. Which, that's certain things, like, really, the whole fucking city. She does one morally. This is a fighting pit city.
I know.
This is a city that just recently took to the streets with blood and death, and they execute one person, and like, okay, mate, and the whole city and rises.
It was
against
pretty
her.
Effective, though. Like, going completely silent and then the hissing.
No, it was it,
cinematically it sure was very effective.
Sure, it was a big moment.
Yeah, but I'm with you. It just didn't feel right. Like, none of that actually felt right.
Yeah.
The rest of the episode I really liked.
Right. And maybe they're kind of setting up just Dany needs like advisors like Tyrion in exactly the same way Cersei needs advisors like her uncle Kevin. And, you know, are they going to set up that one is pushing smart people away and one is welcoming smart people into their inner circles? I don't know. Or
we're about 10 weeks out from House of the Dragon Season 2, and it's time to prepare for war.
Which in our case means, well, watching a lot of Hot D and reading a lot of Fire and Blood.
Each week between now and June 16th, Maester Anthony and his co-host Steve are hosting a watch of each episode of Hot D Season 1. And then me and Jim are going to host a discussion of the differences between the events on that episode and how they're recounted in George R. R. Martin's historical tome, Fire and Blood.
That's right, I've resorted to reading dragon books. God help us all. We'll see if my fresh eyes add any new insights or predictions into Season 2.
Arm yourselves with all the lore you can for the battles ahead. House of the Dragon returns June 16th, but we've got you covered until then.
Check out all of our upcoming Hot D coverage on the Hot D feed or on Bald Move Pulp, available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, it's time for another season of Why is Mr. Feeny a Car? The premise is simple. A Gen Xer and a millennial watch old 80s action TV to see what still works and what doesn't. In previous seasons, we've done podcasts for Knight Rider, Airwolf, MacGyver, A-Team, and more. However, this year we're doing a very special season of Feeny. We're going back and reviewing the very special episodes of 80s and 90s sitcoms. Come cringe along with us as Hollywood tries to warn our families of the dangers of underage smoking, drug abuse, alcoholism, eating disorders, and much more. We start out with the episode of Boy Meets World where a high school kid gets sucked into a cult. Worlds collide as the Mr. Feeny finally makes an appearance on Why Is Mr. Feeny a Car? Join me and my buddy Jay each week for episodes full of nostalgia and secondhand embarrassment. And don't worry, if Very Special isn't your speed, we've also got some all-time classic Knight Rider episodes to close the season with. Find Why Is Mr. Feeny a Car? Each Wednesday on Bald Move Pulp, starting April 3rd.
Speaking of big developments, what'd you think of Drogon showing up at the end?
Okay, sure.
I was scared.
Scared?
Like, every time I was
hoping
there...
he would blow fire in her face so I could get an answer to my question. Is she fireproof? I was like, do it. Do it.
Asbestos Light Danny. That's you need a pithy name for that theory, like the Dead Man's Brew. It's the Daenerys, fireproof Daenerys, asbestos Daenerys.
Yep.
Asbestarius.
That's way worse.
Yeah, sure. No, every time I see that, you know, jaws full of razor sharp teeth, it's like if he gives her like a playful nip, it's like lethal lacerations.
She's plus gonna look like Davos or whatever his name is.
I gotta think that she's also did like I feel like that their teeth are like Komodo dragon. There's loaded with bacteria and all kinds of shit, so just it's fatal. It's you're dead.
Could be.
Didn't actually let her touch her though, or touch him.
No, he flew off before that.
I'm not even sure. I think if I recall correctly, the sex of dragons is kind of complicated in the in the book. So whatever.
Okay. I mean, you know, at the end, she basically has nothing left but her small army, 8,000 people, 8,000 unsullied. She doesn't have the will of the people she's freed anymore and the loyalty and faith. I mean, that's the way the episode is portraying it, right?
Sure.
Everyone in that instant turns on her.
Do you think it's possible they're setting us up to, like, apply political pressure to open the fighting pits, and now it's like, oh, look at me, I'm so popular again. I'm giving you your bread and circuses back.
Yeah.
No more shit and dentist visits.
Sure. That could definitely happen.
What else?
I want to talk about Dorne for a second.
Sure.
And Dr. Julian Bashir.
Sure.
In all his glory. I'm super excited that he's back. Or that he's in the show.
Yeah, up until
that he's back on TV, honestly, because this is the first thing I've seen him in since Deep Space Nine, I think.
Yeah, he's just been sitting by the phone for 15 years waiting for more genre work. Come on, sci-fi fantasy, baby.
I'll take
Come
a period
on.
Piece at this point.
Yeah, it's like, oh, in episode 8, I'll be an emergency medical hologram. Whatever, sign me up. I'll cash that check.
Yeah, so I've always been a big fan of his, and seeing him here is good. And he seems to be very different from his brother.
That's I really like the fact that they captured that they are hot and cold, two sides. You know, and the tension there, it's another thing about, you know, this kind of leader versus their people. Apparently, you know, they're selling Dorne as this hot, arid country with hot blooded, passionate people that are screaming for the vengeance on a popular prince.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you make of the mention of sand snakes? I said the sand snakes.
I have no idea what that was.
Okay. All right.
I made note of it, but I was like, who the fuck are the sand snakes?
Okay. And I wasn't sure if they mentioned them last year, and I'm going to just wait until the full cast to do some research on that.
I don't recall hearing it. I think that is completely without context.
Yeah.
But
that's a
just
fun,
leading.
That's a fun little faction that is going to be cool to watch. I continue to be very impressed. You know, there was a 30-minute making of where they spent a lot of time visiting that particular set, the Water Garden set, and I really was stricken by how interesting and different they make all the architecture.
Oh, yeah.
You know, even Braavos is very distinctive visually from King's Landing versus the North versus the Wall. I mean, and you know, and so it goes. It's just they just keep finding remarkable sets that are very cool. And I really like that. Except for Marcella's dress. What the fucking fantasy Barbie bullshit. Pink bubblegum.
I didn't even notice it.
You didn't notice the Hubba Bubba pink prom dress she was wearing.
Nope.
Like, that's not Lannister red. Did they try to bleach it? What the hell?
That's how they do it.
You wore a bad dress, Marcella. Bad dress. not digging that.
Yeah, I don't know. She's a little girl, right?
No one needs to wear pink chiffon. That's just gross. Pepto-Bismol, man. She looked like a Pepto-Bismol bottle.
That's fair. Yeah, I don't
more
know.
Than I'm, fair. I could be crueler.
I think that has potential to go sour really fast if Dr. Julian Bashir, I don't know his actual name.
Prince Doran.
Prince Joran?
Doran.
Doran can actually keep her under control or not. Because she seems like she's ready to go rogue.
Who? Marcella?
No.
Oh, his...
Oberyn's
paramour, sure.
Yeah.
On the other hand, Marcella looks like she's super happy, and the young princeling looks like he's very taken. I mean, he's Pepto-Bismol, yeah. his favorite flavor.
Apparently.
Chalky mint,
Yeah.
Really quiets the digestive tract.
The other thing I really like in this episode is this guy who stands up to Cersei. And I don't know who this is, but he deserves a promotion, which he turned down, and a standing ovation.
Kevin Lannister, that's Tywin's brother.
Oh, perfect. Okay. I was super happy to see him, to see somebody get a little bit of retribution brought down on her head.
Look at that small council.
It's sad.
It is really sad. It is really sad. The most impressive man just left. So the second most impressive is the disgraced Meister Qyburn, which he seems smart enough.
He's the one resurrecting the mountain, right? Or what I can assume is resurrecting.
Did you see
mountain.
That giant white sheet in the basement?
No, but
you didn't see. Yeah,
I didn't notice that.
There's a giant white sheet covering what seems like a giant white corpse.
That sounds very Frankenstein-esque to me.
And they need a dwarf head for further experimentation.
Yeah, that's really disturbing, dude.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah, I like that was a good dissolve. How many dwarfs are in the world? Do you think my sister will kill them all?
Yeah.
Ka-thunk. Yeah, no. Yeah, you offer perfect. Lordship for the head of a Tyrion, and you're going to get a lot of dead dwarves. It's pretty bad.
Indeed. I don't know. I really like this episode, other than the stuff at the end with Dany, which I felt was either a bit rushed or a little misplaced.
Yeah, I feel like, I don't know.
It just didn't connect like I wanted
There might need to be some railroading if they're going to smooth over as many, many complicated things that they're trying to simplify, which, again, I applaud that effort. I'm just, that one didn't work for me. And just the big problem with this is a huge connective episode that I don't know what they're connecting to. And it's one of those things where my brain is trying to put it in the context of things I know, and it's just not serving me super well.
Really?
But, yeah.
So even knowing the future on this, you still don't see
where
this episode fits in?
Like I said, I can see where, like, okay, this guy is supposed to be this guy, this guy's supposed to be this guy, but those guys, the fates of those guys and who they are now in the show is such that I'm like, they can't go exactly that way. So that's what the spoiler section's for. That's where we kind of like try to figure this all out. We had some fun talking about that this past Friday. So we'll see.
Okay. Sounds good. I think that'll about do it. Yeah.
Yeah, if you got feedback for us, send it to gameofthrones@baldmove.com. You can also participate on our forums at forums.baldmove.com. And what's cool is we got a non-spoiler thread for the people that are show watchers only, and we got a spoiler thread for the people that are reading the books. Have some adventuresome TV watchers there too. Just don't give a fuck. They're all getting spoiled up. Right. They're like a Why week not? Old carton of milk. They just don't care.
Yeah.
And then you can also follow our release schedule on facebook.com/baldmove and on Twitter @baldmove, because as soon as we post something, it automatically gets posted to those two places.
It does.
And it also does. To baldmove.com. You could, I know it's a lot, it's a stretch, but you could actually check that out.
People
too.
Only use apps now. They don't use browsers.
I know. That's the sad truth. That's the sad truth. Yeah. Our web traffic is like 1/100th of our podcast reach.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll be back on Tuesday with the full episode.
Yep.
And until then, I'm Jim.
I'm Aaron. See ya.